there, Bulls Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Rebuild the Bowl podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile. I'm being joined today by Wise Black, co-host of the Bulls podcast. Of course, his co-host, Marcus Couch, joined us a couple weeks ago to preview Bulls free agency, and Wise is going to deliver his rebuilding plan on today's show. Let's get right to it. Let's bring him in. Wise, how you feeling today?
Man, everything's really nice, man. I'm enjoying the Chicago weather. I think the summer, it wanted to play around with us in the beginning, because I think this is my first time, like, since I've been living in Chicago, where in June, like, the first 3 weeks of it was still cold. You know, I'm used to, you know, by the time June hits, at least I remember when I was in elementary, by the time June would hit, man, we automatically knew to have on shorts and a t-shirt. So this year, it kind of, it kind of threw us for a spin, but I'm just glad that it's finally here. So, man, I'm doing really well.
Before we get to your rebuilding plan, I want to ask you about your work on the Bulls podcast. Of course, we had Marcus Couch on, your co-host, a few weeks ago to preview free agency, but I want to ask you how you got started with that podcast and how that's been going.
Yeah, man, it's been going really, really well. I think that we've hit our stride, you know, as a pair on the Bulls podcast. I'm really loving it. And I guess as far as how it started, man, I'll give you guys the backstory. So I know me, myself, I just started the Bulls YouTube channel, like, just around this time last year, as a matter of fact. And how it started was, you know, like, I'm so me and my guys, we will always just be sitting around talking about Bulls basketball or about basketball in general, the entire NBA, you know. But one day I'm just sitting with my girlfriend at the time, who is now my fiance, you know, and we were just, you know, kicking back in the house and, you know, having a couple beers or whatnot. And I told her, like, I was like, you know what, I feel like starting a Bulls YouTube channel, you know. And, like, I'm mind you, I'm full of, like, I've had like four beers already or something, you know. And she's like, really? You for real? And I'm like, yeah, like, I feel like doing the Bulls YouTube channel. I'm like, as a matter of fact, I think I'm about to do one right now. So I legit got up, put my beer down, got up, and, you know, went into my home office and turned on the camera and, you know, just started recording. And I wound up uploading it to YouTube, you know, and out of nowhere, like a day later, man, it got like a few hundred views, like close to 1,000 views. And I was like, whoa, really? You know, and it had people commenting, you know, and, you know, they were like just really engaging on what I was talking about. And I think it was about just who I thought deserved to stay on the Bulls team, you know, at that time last year. So, you know, fast forward, like, about maybe 3 months or 4 months or something like that, you know, I'm continuing to, you know, just love the progression. I'm steady uploading videos like every week, you know. And out of nowhere, this guy and he comments in one of my videos, and he's like, yo, you want to do a podcast with me? We should, you know, you should think about it. Let's do it. So I read that and I was like, okay. I thought it was like just somebody just, you know, just saying something or whatever, until like a week later he hit me on Twitter, you know, on my DMs, and he was like, yo, I don't know if you caught my message on your YouTube channel, but, you know, I'm serious. I want to do a Bulls podcast with you if you're interested. So I'm like, man, of course. I'm like, yeah, like, I mean, I talk about Bulls like anytime, you know, so it's definitely not an issue with me. So definitely, let's do it. And I mean, you know, that's how it's been. That's how it got started, you know. And now we're just here, and we record a Bulls podcast every chance we get, you know, or at least once a week, you know. And anytime any relevant Bulls news comes out, you know, we hop on the mic and we make it do what it does. That's how it got started.
I think two observations that I got hearing that. One, alcohol is always needs to be consumed when watching the Bulls nowadays. Two, you know, you realize that the Bulls are so global, and they're, you know, a national brand, a global brand. It always, every time you put something out there, it seems like there's always a good chunk of people ready to comment and engage.
Yes, exactly, man, because I have people commenting from Australia, from, man, like just all over the place. I think it was one guy who was from Ghana, something like that. Like it was crazy to me that the Bulls fan base is it that it stretches that wide, man. So yeah, it's definitely a national brand. We can attribute that to Mike, of course.
Absolutely. I was going to say Michael Jordan, and I feel like now Lauri Markkanen's bringing in this Finnish wave.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I don't know if we have. I don't recall anybody commenting from Finland, but I wouldn't be surprised if we do.
It really does speak to the global impact that the Chicago Bulls have. Real quick, where can people find you on Twitter? Is the YouTube channel still active?
Yeah, yes it is. Yes it is. I'm actually recording the video tonight, so
Nice.
right after we get off of get off of the mic here. But yeah, so on YouTube, you just type in Wise Black, Wise spelled with the Y, WYSE, and the regular spelling Black. That's how you'll find me on YouTube. And on Twitter and Instagram, it's radical underscore creator, both spelled the regular way.
I've added the Bulls podcast to my regular rotation. I really enjoy what you and Marcus have going on there. It's fantastic the chemistry you guys have. And I know Marcus is all the way out in California. Have you guys actually met in person yet?
No, man. We've never met in person. Everything is digital.
Wow.
It goes to show you the power of the internet, right?
That's a great testimonial right there as to how you can do this remotely and do it from afar. But that's amazing because it seems like you guys have known each other for years, the way that you two talk.
Yeah, man, you know what? That's how we talk to each other too. Like once like before we hop on the pod and even afterward. Like we just talk like two regular guys, you know what I mean? Like so yeah, man, it's awesome though, because we have developed a really strong chemistry. And I feel, although I've never met Marcus, I feel like I've been knowing him for like a couple years now. Like we do plan to meet up though, once I'm, if I'm like out of town in Los Angeles or something like that, or if he's, here in Chicago, we're definitely gonna catch up.
Nice. We're gonna put you in that role of the Bulls executive here in a little bit. Just for our listeners, we're kind of wrapping up the rebuilding plans, as I mentioned in our last podcast. Wise, you actually might be one of the last, if not the last, person to deliver a rebuilding plan until next off season. You have a very distinct honor. So, are you ready to take on that role?
Yeah, as ready as I'll ever be.
Awesome. So, in our hypothetical world, the Reinsdorf family has fired Gar Forman. They've elevated John Paxson to some fake advisory role, and they've hired you, Wise, as the new executive VP of basketball operations. I ask this question to everybody that hops on. What's your first order of business?
So, if I'm coming in as president of ops, given what we currently have on the team, I'm going the find up tempo players route. I want to bring in vets that are going to complement the rising talent on the team, because I believe we have a couple of guys that soon will be all stars, and Laurie and Zach. Others have the potential as well, but those two I mentioned are my main focus in terms of building around. But I must say, this method would be used solely based on the team's current situation, because I think it's the best way to transition into the attracting stars game plan, which would be my end goal philosophy. Because while we have two budding stars, I don't think that'll be enough to get us into real championship consideration. And, that's just based on recent history. You need more than one or two stars to get it done, unless, like the Raptors, you have, if you're like the Raptors and you have a bunch of above average role players, a superstar, and a generous amount of luck, I just don't see it happening outside of something like that. So in essence, the Bulls made the right moves in this year's free agency by signing Thad Young and Thomas Satoransky.
Would you consider at this point hiring a GM underneath you? And what would be some names maybe that you would look at?
So there's a number of different GMs I'd be interested in, like maybe Sam Presti in OKC. I think he truly has an eye for talent, given the fact that he drafted three MVPs. Now, granted, two of them no longer play for the team, and the last one seems to be out the door soon as well. But I mean, I like the fact that he has a winning mentality and the wherewithal to make, you know, respectable moves as a GM, you know, like the haul he received for Paul George in the trade with the Clippers. You know, but I digress on that because I'm sure we'll talk some about that later. But also, David Griffin is someone who I've liked as a GM since his Cleveland days. You know, I thought he did a pretty nice job there, and he's making nice moves with the Pelicans now. Jerry West is definitely on my radar. I think he's widely regarded as, you know, the best GM in the NBA right now. His resume speaks for itself, dating all the way back to his time with the Lakers front office. And, like, I don't know, I think it was like the early 80s or something, you know, to helping the Grizzlies make their first playoff berth, you know, being an advisor to the Warriors for their first two championships of the Splash Brothers era to now, you know, bringing in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for the Clippers. You know, so, I mean, there are a decent number of good GMs out there, but you know what? I just go for the juggler, man, and try my best to pry the legendary West away from the Clippers. Easy decision for me.
I agree with that. I think he is the best basketball executive of all time. But if you couldn't pluck him away or one of those other GMs away, would you have to look at like another organization that might have some young up-and-comers?
You know what? I do like what they're doing up over there in Atlanta. I will say that I thought that Atlanta made some really nice moves in this year's draft. You know, where they I said it on my YouTube channel that they were going to move up just because, you know, that was being rumored that they were going to move up for that number four pick. And I love the fact that they took DeAndre Hunter, a guy who's, you know, super versatile. I think he's going to be able to play at least like three different positions for them, depending on lineups. They grabbed a guy that I was very fond of in Cam Reddish. I think he's a steal at 10, I believe, where they took him. And I mean, I just like the, you know, the all around moves that they're making. You know, now I don't know, like this last move, they just signed Jabari Parker just recently. That one was a little bit of a head scratcher just because they have so many forwards. But I mean, I'm interested to see what they do. But I like what they're doing over there in Atlanta. I don't recall the GM's name over there, but I believe he's pretty new. So I like him.
Jim Boylan just signed a 3-year contract. So let's say you're inheriting that along with your role here as a president of basketball ops. Are you putting him on the hot seat pretty quickly?
So I'm kind of torn because I like giving guys a chance. I'm kind of, you know, a guy who loves the underdog. So I don't know. Yeah, I really contemplate about keeping Boylan because he hasn't had a fair shake at it yet. And I do love tough, no-nonsense coaches that also truly cares about the players. And I think Boylan is that, you know, I think he's that kind of coach. But, you know, I'd also do my due diligence and look at coaches like Nick Nurse, who, you know, did one hell of a job this past season with the Raptors, you know, them winning the championship and everything. I like Doc Rivers. I've always been fond of his style of coaching. You know, of course, Pop, you know, the GOAT in my eyes. Mike Malone in Denver is nice to me as well. But, you know, if I had to, you know, pick one from my young squad, it would probably be the all-time Bull Steve Kerr. You know, I just love the way he seems to get it. You know, he gets players. He understands how to manage egos. You know, I guess we can attribute that to him playing with the best player ever in MJ. So, you know, it only makes sense that as a former player himself, he gets where they're coming from. And also from an X's and O's standpoint, it also makes sense that he thrives in that as well, seeing as how he was coached by an all-time great in Phil Jackson, too. So for me, I mean, I want that championship pedigree that Steve Kerr would bring. So
I have the sneaking suspicion that Steve Kerr might be available maybe in the summer of 2020.
Really? You don't think that he'll get an extension?
I just have this feeling that there's going to be a minor shakeup in Golden State. I just get this feeling that after this season, there might be a soft reset. Maybe Steve Kerr might look at a chance to just find a new opportunity, or maybe just, you know, take a little bit of a break from coaching.
Oh, so you think that'll be on the part of him, not the team?
Yes. I think it kind of will be a mutual parting of ways. Just a sneaking suspicion.
Wow, yeah, that's a take right there. I mean, I hope not. But I mean, if it's for reasons such as, you know, his health, you know, like he dealt with, I believe, what was that, last year or the year before last, you know, where he was having back problems and it kept him out during some of that championship, series that they was in. I mean, you can't knock him for that. You know what I mean? But Steve Kerr is one hell of a coach in my eyes. So, you know, I hope that he does stick around, and I hope that his health is up to par.
Is there any other shakeups that you would make in other places, like the scouting department or health medical staff?
Definitely. I mean, look, so our scouting department, is it bad, you know, at all, if you ask me? Of course, they haven't always hit on every pick or even G League prospect, but I think they've had more hits than misses for sure. Although while I say that, like, I'd probably still go with the Spurs scouting, just because they seem to find guys from anywhere in the world and turn them into contributors in the NBA. But you know what? Hold on. But you know what? Like, as a matter of fact, I might take that back, because I think most of that is because of Pop's system. You know, because they'll find a random guy from the EuroLeague or the second round and turn him into a key role player. You know, I can't think of any guys' names right now for an example, but they found guys who no one had ever heard of before more than a few times and have made something out of nothing with them, basically. And once they leave the Spurs, when, you know, another team gets sucked into paying them, they'll just completely get exposed. So, you know what, actually, I think we're good with the current scouting team. You know, there are no slouches in comparison to other teams in the league. So, yeah, I think we're cool there.
Is there anything that you would also do to change sort of that perception that seems to follow the Bulls? Because we know that this has been kind of lingering even since the end of the dynasty years, that there's sort of this uneasy feeling towards the Bulls, or this animosity from players and agents towards the Bulls. Is there anything that you would do to help change that perception?
I don't know, man. You know what? Like, I listened to the pod with Big Dave where he said he put, you know, the Jordan statue back outside where it belongs. You know, so I agree with that one. I thought that was good. I'll probably also change the prices of the food in the United Center too. There's no way people should be paying $5+ for a hot dog. That's just insane. And I don't know, maybe I put up a billboard that reads "Garpax fired" or something like that, because I get both of those guys out of here. You said that he'd be relegated to like a advisory role, but he wouldn't be the president of ops anymore if I'm in that seat. So, I mean, the rest should really handle itself as far as how people perceive the team. You know, they see right off bat that we'd be creating a totally different regime in regards to our image and what the team would stand for. I mean, as far as, you know, out with the old, in with the new, you know, we'd be calculated risk takers and a team that cares about its players. And that would be plain to see with all the moves that I mentioned earlier.
All right, you know what? I think we should get to some of the fun stuff now. Let's talk about the roster. What did you think of the pick at number 7 with Coby White and the free agent additions of Thaddeus Young, Tomas Satoransky, and Luke Kornet?
All right, so truth be told, man, I was not fond of Coby White at 7 initially. Like, I just wasn't. I was one of those Cam Reddish guys because I thought his ceiling and potential were much higher than Kobe's, and I didn't want the Bulls to just take a point guard just to fill a positional need. You know, I thought they should have stuck with the best player available rule, and in my eyes, that was Reddish. You know, now I totally understand why people may disagree with that notion about Reddish being better than White due to how limited his production at Duke was, but I just saw him as a shy kid who lacked confidence, but also one equipped with all the tools to be a top player in the league down the road. You know, he's 6'9", 220, only 18 years old, you know, with the handle, nice shooting stroke and athleticism. You know, so I just felt he only needed to get with the right trainer and coach that would bring out the sleeping giant within him. You know, but I mean, listen, man, Coby White isn't bad, and I think he does have potential to be a good scoring guard in the league. I don't know if I believe in his game as a facilitator or even his ability to become a nice one. I think he's in the mode of a Lou Will, you know, a guy who can come off the bench and fill up the scoreboard for you and hit key buckets when you need them. But that's basically the extent of it to me. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I definitely do. But I mean, that's just what I got from watching Kobe play. As for Thad Young and Satoransky, you know, those pickups, they were almost perfect from my point of view. You know, both guys were very solid contributors to their former teams. Neither one of them have a history of being injury prone. They're super versatile. You can play Thad at the 3-5 positions depending on matchups. You know, he's still a valuable defender, great help defender on the weak side, can knock down open threes at a respectable clip, mainly from the corner from what I've seen when the Bulls played him in the past. You know, does a lot of things that, you know, don't show up on a stat sheet, but also a stat sheet filler with steals, rebounds, block shots, occasional assists. You know, he averaged about, 13 points per game for his career, so he gets buckets. You know, he's just that Swiss Army knife kind of player we talk about today. But another key note for that is his character. He's one of those vets in the league that everyone loves. You know, his teammates love him and the fans love him wherever he's played. So Thad was a huge pickup in my eyes because not only will he help this team on the court, but he's going to help our younger players become respected professionals with his leadership. And, you know, as for Sato, I took my hat off to the Bulls front office for pulling off that sign and trade because I didn't think Washington would give up on him. I really like the fact that he's 6'7" and can play the point position, but given his size, he's going to slide down to the 2 or 3, you know, if need be, you know, depending on lineups. You know, I can really see him, Kobe and Zach on the floor together with Laurie and Thad. Man, that lineup would be quick and very possibly explosive on offense because they could play 5 out with all shooters on the floor. And even, you know, each guy would be, you know, pretty quick for their positions too. So man, Sato is the perfect pickup in regards to what we needed. You know, he can facilitate fairly well, can knock down open threes, is aggressive on both offense and defense, helps rebound the ball on offensive possessions, and could possibly play a little spot four on switches and hold his own with his size, you know, at 6'7". So man, I was pleasantly surprised by our free agency, you know. I mean, I thought they did a very nice job. Oh, as a matter of fact, I can't forget about I can't forget about Luke Kornet. So honestly, I don't recall watching him play much, but I did go back and look at some of his highlights. And I must say, man, that dude can stroke it from three. You know, I think that he hit like 5 or 6 threes when he played against the G League Bulls this past season. Although not to knock him, you know, because he also had a game where he nailed 7 threes versus the Bucks last season, too. So clearly he is a legitimate stretch five who also uses his length quite well to block shots and rebound. So I think picking him up could turn out to be a sneaky good move. You know, I just wonder how much the Bulls are going to use him. You know, I'm sure he's going to be in front of Felicio, but I wonder if they're going to utilize his skills enough in the regular rotation. You know, I think it'll really depend on how well Gafford develops, but I think it'll be pretty interesting to see he and Laurie on the floor together, and at times even him and Wendell, who I hope will shoot the deep ball a bit more next season. But I don't know, man. We'll see.
So for the sake of this rebuilding plan, let's say you're inheriting the team like right now. So the moves have been made, and for some reason the Reinsdorfs just had a really itchy trigger finger for some reason. If you had to make the next set of moves, is there anything that you would do this offseason to just fill out the rest of the roster? Do you think that there's one other void that needs to be filled?
First, I think I'm waving Antonio Blakeney, one of Marcus's favorite players, and then I'm looking to sign another wing. I'm then trying my best to get Felicio out of town by any means necessary, as long as it's logical. So if that means we can package Chris Dunn, who I'm actually fond of and would like to see coming off the bench, but if I can package him and Denzel Valentine to entice a team like Orlando or Phoenix to take on Felicio's contract, then I'm doing it ASAP. really for nothing in return. But I mean, I understand if we need to make the money situation work a little bit, you know, we can take a little something back, like one of their expiring end of the bench guys on the second round pick in the future. And I mean, like I said earlier, I'm bringing in a new medical and training staff too. So I mean, other than those moves, I guess we're geared up for next season to see what unfolds.
One trade scenario that's been out there, Casey Johnson floated it last week. It was taking Chris Dunn and flipping him in a sign-and-trade for Justin Holiday, so Holiday Act 3. What are your thoughts on a move like that?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't want to bring Justin Holiday back here because, I mean, it would be unnecessary if you ask me. And listen, I'm not as low on Chris Dunn as so many other people are. I really think that he still has a lot left in the tank, man. And with Justin Holiday, last season or the year before last, whenever it was that, you know, his final year playing for us, like he actually played fairly well in spurts. You know, sometimes he would just be on fire. You know, he actually won us a couple games, but more times than not, that dude would just like make me almost pull my hair out because he would just be jacking up all of these crazy shots. Hoiberg would be playing him like 40 plus minutes a night, you know, and I could never understand why, because he was just trash, if you ask me, for the most part. So nah, man, I definitely would be against that move. I think that it would be smarter to like just keep Chris Dunn around. And I don't know, man, like if we can't get him off for like something that's beneficial to us, like really beneficial, like I said, like trying to like, I don't know, package him with like Felicio or something like that. And you know, having him go away that way, you know, that contract of Felicio's is off of our team and we can do away with him. I mean, but something outside of that, I wouldn't want to just throw him away for anything.
I agree 100% with you. And I heard that trade and I kind of just rolled my eyes because I don't like the idea of bringing in a unnecessary veteran to take away minutes from younger guys, especially at that position where you do have a lot of young guys that you can be rolling out.
Exactly. We still have what? Otto Porter. You still have Chandler Hutchinson. Denzel Valentine. I mean, we have a nice number of guys that could use some developmental minutes instead of giving them to Justin Holiday, which I don't think Boylan would play him much either. So that's another reason why I think it's pointless.
So prior to being traded to the Rockets, Russell Westbrook's name was being floated out a little bit. Bulls Twitter was debating whether or not teams should go out and make a move for him. You know, it had been talked about on Chicago Sports Radio. And I even floated out a few tweets about what it would take to get Russell Westbrook. I said for salary cap reasons, you trade Otto Porter, Zach LaVine, and a couple of future firsts to get Russell Westbrook. And you replied to that tweet by saying, and I quote, hell no.
Precisely.
Now, if there was somebody that was a little younger and maybe fit a little bit better, like, I'll throw this out here, and this one's a little crazier. Like, I don't think Milwaukee would ever do this, but let's just say, like, Giannis was on the block and you were able to get him for Otto Porter, LaVine, and a boatload of picks. Like, that's a no-brainer, right?
Oh, of course. Without a doubt. What? Yes. I would definitely grab my man Giannis without a thought, without a second thought. Like, and who did you say? LaVine and Otto? Yeah, and we get to keep Lori too? Like, man, for sure. Because those picks wouldn't be worth much either. Like, those first-round picks. Like, if we were to grab Giannis, man, and we were able to still keep Lori Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., oh, my goodness. Like, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
There are Bulls fans, it seems like, at least in Bulls Twitter, and that could be a dark place, where it seems like they don't want to give up anybody. So that's why I do have to ask the question, just to make sure that you're kind of on the same boat with me.
Nah, man. Like, see, and that's the thing. I think so many of us get so caught up in, you know, like just falling in love with these players. And I get that because, you know, I fall victim to that as well. But at the same time, man, you still got to be logical. Giannis is an MVP caliber player, and the dude is only like 22 or 23 years old. Like, no. And he isn't even in his prime yet. Like, dude isn't even in his prime. So if we have to give up a couple players who, you know, have some decent potential to make some noise in the league, but I don't see superstar written on any of those guys that you just mentioned that we would have to give up for Giannis. So it's a no-brainer to me.
Let's actually talk about those guys real quick, because I think that's going to play into maybe what you're going to do beyond 2020. What do you think the ceiling is for Zach, Lauri, and Wendell?
I definitely see Zach LaVine developing into an all-star. I see the same for Lauri Markkanen. With Wendell Carter Jr., I don't know. Like, I definitely think that he has potential. Like, I really like Wendell Carter Jr., but out of all three of those guys, he's the most expendable piece to me. Just because I think not that he can be easily replaced, but I think I could replace him with a guy who with a guy in even Lauri Markkanen, moving him to the five spot, which I know a lot of people may not be fond of, but I think I could live with moving Lauri Markkanen to the five spot and finding a replacement at the four who would complement Lauri and Zach's game just as much as Wendell Carter Jr. does. So, I mean, I really love the trio, though. Don't get me wrong. I actually love the trio of those three players. You know, so when I look at their ceiling as a whole, I guess down the road, I can see all three of those guys developing some really good camaraderie and chemistry to, you know, help bolster this team into the playoffs. I definitely do. But like I said, if I had a situation where, you know, I had to give up one of those guys to maybe get a better piece, then it would be Wendell.
When would you really start exploring those next moves? I mean, in the NBA, you have to be able to pivot, it seems like. There's always a star available on the trade market every few months. And you seem like you would want to be aggressive in future free agent classes. But what would be your plan for getting that next big star to join your team?
I mean, yeah, I do exactly what the Bulls are doing right now, man. Just acquiring these, you know, these really nice role players like they just did with Tomas Satoransky and Thad Young. And I would just really just depend on the development of my younger players. You know, I depend on the development of Zach LaVine. And I only say that because I think what they have shown us is promise. Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., like to a lesser degree. But all three of those guys have shown us promise. And all of them are under the age of 24. You know what I mean? So none of them are in their prime yet. And I think the way to build is you look at what Brooklyn did. I think that they did it the perfect way. They, you know, brought on, they accumulated talent through trades and through the draft, and they basically developed those guys. And now who do they have? Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You know, now it's not like the Brooklyn Nets were like this crazy, awesome, like, team that was just blowing everybody out of the water, but yet and still they showed some fight. They showed that they had some potential. And I think that that's exactly what the Bulls have to do. So, you know, depending on the new coaches that we just brought in, I like the new personnel changes that we made, picking up Roy Rogers from the Houston Rockets, grabbing Chris Fleming from Brooklyn, you know, and given the fact that they just made some strides last season, I really depend on, you know, those guys just really developing into some really nice players. And, you know, just I think that that'll entice, you know, future all-stars to want to come to this team or future superstars to want to come to this team. I think that that's the way that I'd go. But I'm pretty sure the Bulls would have to get to that playoff contention level, or not even playoff contention. I think that we have to be a team that's in the playoffs consecutively, at least 2 years in a row for, you know, one of the top free agents to take us seriously. But I think that that's not too far-fetched. I think that the Bulls are on the right path to that. You know, I think that they're definitely on the right track by, you know, just doing what they're doing right now, man.
When do you think the Bulls will be ready for playoff contention? Do you think that's something that can happen in the 2020 season, or is it maybe another year or two out?
if everything goes right, man, like, I don't like to be one of those guys who, you know, just jumps out the window and throws numbers out there. But I mean, if everything shakes out right, I think that they could be in playoff contention this year. But I seriously do. Like, if and obviously this is predicated on, you know, everyone staying healthy, you know, so I mean, but that's kind of unrealistic, right? You know, that's unrealistic. But if everything shook right, man, I think that they could creep into a seventh or eighth seed this year, because I don't think the East is that strong. Kyrie is going to be the only one, or not the only one, but Kevin Durant won't be joining him in Brooklyn next season. The Detroit Pistons, I think that they're a nice team, but I don't know. I've never been, you know, too psyched about their talent over there. I know that they have Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, and I think that they are an okay team, but I think that they can be beaten. The Milwaukee Bucks, they're legitimate, obviously. I think the Indiana Pacers are legitimate. I just think that it's when we talk about those 7 and 8 spots, I think it's pretty wide open, man, at the back end of the East in terms of the 1 through 8 spots. I think that is pretty wide open. So I could see the Bulls being in contention this year, to tell you the truth, especially with the pickups that we just got.
So how long would you be targeting to get into title contention after you get into playoff contention?
So that really depends on when we get that superstar, right? Like, and I think that would be a couple years down the line. I'd say maybe 2023, 24, you know, because I think by that time, I expect our young studs to be perennial all-stars. I think Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine by that time will definitely have shown and proved that they can hold their own in the league, and that they're, you know, two of the better players in the league at their respective positions. And I think around that time, I think that's basically when we can expect to, you know, be making it to the playoffs on a regular. And that's when we be, you know, that's when we be interesting enough to catch the eyes of, you know, one of the top tier free agents in the league. And I think once that happens, I think the Bulls will definitely be in that championship consideration.
At that point, you would probably have given Lauri an extension. Would you be bringing back Zach? Because I think Zach's contract might be up around that, like, by 2023, I believe, because he signed a 4-year deal. Yeah, I think that he would be up around then. Would you be bringing Zach back into the fold and trying to find that star? Would you let him walk if the money wasn't right?
So it depends on what you mean by if the money wasn't right, because if Zach LaVine develops into an all-star, like an all-star player who's going there every single year, like if he makes the all-star team come next year in the 19-20 season, and he's an all-star consecutively for like 3 more seasons, you know, and he's developed other parts of his game, meaning his vision, meaning his defense, I definitely would give him the money in addition to signing Lauri Markkanen, because Zach LaVine's deal or his contract won't be up until, what, 2 seasons after we extend Lauri Markkanen? So, yes. Yeah, if Zach LaVine is playing well and, you know, he's developed into the guy that I expect him to, I definitely would give him some money. I definitely would give him an extension.
I'll ask you this as our last question. What would be some of the names that would be on your radar? Like, is there a specific group of younger superstar players that you would love to see on the trade market or in free agency that you would target for the Bulls?
So really, free agency sucks next year in 2020, yeah, outside of like Anthony Davis and one of my favorite players in Pascal Siakam. So realistically, I think I'd try to go after Pascal in free agency first before AD, just because I think AD would be a bit harder to strip away from LA, even though Chicago is his home. So I really try to snag Pascal Siakam, who I believe is going to be a future superstar, you know. So it would more than likely have to be a sign-and-trade situation where we give up a couple key guys like Otto and maybe Wendell plus a future first of some sort, just because I'm sure Masai Ujiri believes in Siakam's potential as much as I do. But I think that's the only move I would make in regards to free agency or even a trade, because I think the Bulls are set up pretty nicely to build chemistry as a unit that will be in the playoffs sooner than we may think. You know, so with the hypothetical I just gave, I think a core of Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and Pascal Siakam is more than enough to have us set for the future and to sway other uber-talented players into joining the team in Chicago.
All right, and just to reiterate one last time, wise for our listeners, you're looking at 2023-2024, correct, for title contention?
Yes, sir.
All right, you heard it. You heard it here. Wise, thanks for coming on, and don't be a stranger. We'll definitely have you back on during the season.
Hey, man, it was my pleasure doing a pod with you. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.